Galatians. The book of Galatians. Are you familiar with the book of Galatians? It is right before Ephesians. The book of Galatians. I'm going to be in chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, right before Ephesians, right after Corinthians. Galatians chapter number 5. By the way, if you are familiar with the book of Galatians at all, Paul, again, is writing this as an instructional book, encouraging the flock. Amen. It was written, most believe, on right after his first missionary journey, because there were some people that came in, infiltrated, began to tell them they need to keep the law now that they had been saved in order to perfect themselves or to stay saved. By the way, we have those same people with us today that believe that once you get saved, you've got to keep the law, and they'll tie you up into all the Old Testament traditions. There's just one problem with that. Many of the folks tied up in that are Gentiles, and the law was written to the Jews. That's a big problem with that, amen? And so praise God for Paul getting this church straight, or these churches straight in this area. And Galatia was an area that had many churches there, and Paul writing to them about those things. Chapter 5, we're going to read two verses, 16 and 17. Of course, our theme of this year is our extraordinary God using ordinary people. Amen. As you see there, extraordinary God using ordinary people. Just like you and I, God delights in using his extraordinary power in ordinary people, that his power can be seen in us. And by the way, he does that by giving us an extraordinary spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, an extraordinary spirit to overcome our ordinary spirit. By the way, our ordinary spirit cannot get anything done but bad stuff, amen? And we do not want to operate with that ordinary spirit. So read with me Galatians 5, verses 16 and verses 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Amen. How many of y'all ever felt the struggle in trying to do right? Amen. Struggling trying to be right, struggling just trying to do the right things. Amen. That is because of the problem that we inherited when we have the new nature, the extraordinary nature that God's given us. God delights in using ordinary people to show his extraordinary power. Some of those that were used that we've seen, Abraham was used of God. Isaac was used of God. Joseph was used of God. Jacob was used of God. Moses, Miriam, Aaron, David, others. We can go on and on about those that were used by the Spirit of God to be in the work of God. And they were ordinary people just like you and I. The difference is they had an extraordinary God, and God gave them his extraordinary spirit to get the job done. Amen. Even down to someone like Samson, you'll find over and over again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he did great things. Amen. We can't do anything without the extraordinary spirit that God gives us. And so today we're going to begin looking at the extraordinary nature that replaces the ordinary nature that we get once we get saved. And then why is there this inward battle continuously for control? By the way, even right now, there's a battle, your flesh against the spirit, for control of your thought process. Your flesh does not want to hear anything I'm about to say. It would better be at home laying on the couch. The spirit in you, though, if you're saved, wants to hear everything I've got to say. And there's a battle going on. There's some conflict going on. And verse 17 says, why? They're contrary one to the other. And so I do pray that you'll get through this battle. I do pray that you will strive to surrender to the Spirit, that God can speak to you. Because when God speaks to you, amen, changes happen in your life, amen. Again, there's a battle. It's going on. And you've got to surrender to the flesh, or you've got to surrender to the Spirit. And many of us have heard this before. This is going to be a review for many of us. But I want us to really get a deeper look and deeper understanding of this process, because I feel that many of us fail miserably because we don't really understand the process. And so listen up this morning. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, you know how often I struggle with this, flesh versus the spirit. Lord, in me, I want to do what's right, and oftentimes find myself doing wrong, like Paul struggled in Romans, talks about his struggle. Lord, I pray that this morning that we would listen on purpose. Lord, we would focus on purpose. We would engage our minds and our hearts to the Spirit's call. And we would let the Spirit of God take over and give us in our minds and our hearts what we need as we look at this introduction this morning of what we will talk about over the next few weeks. I do pray that, Lord, we would be attentive to the Word of God and to the Spirit's call. We would fight off the flesh, crucify the flesh, that the Spirit may live boldly. And Lord, give us what we need. Renew us, Lord, encourage us. But most of all, Lord, challenge us to give ourselves wholly to you each moment of our daily lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now bless in the service. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, if they were to die and they don't know that heaven is their home, convince that person, convict that person, then convert that person to Christ, whether it's man, woman, boy, or girl. And for Christians, Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, more Christ-like in that which we think, say, and do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated.
Lord, I need.
Amen. Lord, I need you. By the way, whether we like to admit it or not, we all need the Lord. Amen. We need the Lord more than you and I will ever realize. Amen. Sometimes we think we can do things on our own. And that is the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And as I said before, this is a topic that many of us, we're already familiar with the topic, but I do fear that we don't understand the operation or the processing of the flesh and the spirit and the workings of it. And I believe more times than not, and you may not agree with this, but I believe more times than not of our lives, we operate more in the flesh than we operate in the spirit. I believe more times than not. We don't like to admit it, but I believe that is true, that we operate more in the flesh than in the spirit. And that's why the world is in a state of sin right now, because we do that. And I think we do that because we don't really understand the operation of the flesh and the spirit and that relationship that goes on with the two. And so today I want to give us an introduction and want to understand more about this ordinary sinful nature that tends to dominate. What does it mean? And how can we get the victory of this? Because Paul gives us the blueprint down here, and we'll look at that over the next several weeks. But this morning, just give an introduction of what's going on with the flesh and the spirit. And by the way, if you don't know this, your flesh is very deceptive. It's very deceptive. I was reading a commentary on the flesh and the spirit, and I want to share a little bit of that commentary about the flesh and the spirit, because you and I, believe it or not, can be in church and be in the flesh. Did you know that? Preachers, we can preach in the flesh. Sunday school teachers can teach in the flesh. Amen. We can soul win in the flesh. We can do so many things in the flesh. And let me read to you what this commentary said. He says, if the flesh is not allowed to indulge in its repulsive side, what is the repulsive side? Those verses down there, 19 and 20 and 21. If the flesh is not allowed to indulge in its repulsive side, it will indulge in its religious side. By the way, there are more lost people in churches than you would ever believe. Amen. Amen. It says it will indulge in its religious side. Notice this, it will dress up in its Sunday best and go to church. It will walk the aisle. It will submit to baptism. It will sing in the choir. It will teach a Sunday school class. It will indulge in good works. It will sing. It will pray and take communion. It will fast and deprive itself. This is the flesh. It will carry a Bible and go on visitation. It will go to Bible school and seminary and get ordained to the ministry. It will write articles for Christian magazines and review books. It will even become a missionary. This is the flesh. There's nothing that the flesh will not do. It is a great doer. It will persuade us that all of this doing is just what God wants. However, holy living is not about doing, it's about being. There's a difference from doing and being. And I believe that more of us are confused with that process. Busy doesn't mean better. And because I'm not busy doesn't mean I'm a sloth. Amen. He goes on to say this, holy living, however, is not to be achieved by doing, but by being. We can be in the flesh and in church and be a doer. The only way we can be what God wants us to be is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never coerces, never compels, never puts on the pressure, and never bullies. He does not drive because he leads. He leads and we should follow. He leads us into all truth. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us step by step. He leads gently, understandingly, and unerringly. He leads us in our daily quiet time. He leads us by the godly counsel of spirit-taught men. He leads through the circumstances of life. He leads by gently witnessing with our spirit in the innermost recesses of our being. He leads by quickening our conscience. He leads by encouraging us or by restraining us, by assuring us or by reproving us. He leads, but he never drives. He never gives us that now or never feeling, or that do this or else urging. He leads, we follow, one step at a time. I read that and I thought, glory to God, the time that I've been in the flesh. Man, it's actually scary. When you think about the times that we're trying to do and God is saying, just be, and the being will get the doing done. Why? Because the flesh wants to do. If the repulsive side is not there, he says, oh, you want to play the religious game? Oh, yeah, I got this. I got this. Just let me do this. I know the religious game. I know how to play. I know how to be a people pleaser. I know how to be a man pleaser. Hey, but the Spirit of God says, don't be a people pleaser, be a God pleaser. There is a difference. If I'm a God pleaser, I'm going to do the will of God. If I'm a man pleaser, I'm going to do because I'm trying to please man. There is a difference. We must understand the operation of the ordinary nature to be successful, because you and I can be deceived. Paul's writing to the churches in Galatia, and he's warning them that you don't get saved and then start keeping a law to do. You get saved and you allow the Spirit of God to be active in you. What am I talking about? Go back to Galatians chapter 3 and notice verse number 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. And again, what are we talking about here? An extraordinary nature that God gives us to replace the ordinary nature that we have. And Paul writes to them in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians. That means, when the Bible uses the word fool, it means a person knows biblical truth, but they refuse biblical truth. So he's saying, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, pulled the wool over your eyes, cast a spell on you, if you would, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently sent forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Notice the statement. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law. In other words, did you get saved by keeping the law? How many of y'all got saved by keeping the law? None of us. Why? We can't keep the law. He said, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Question mark. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He said, look, you can't start with the Spirit and think to perfect yourself in the flesh. It doesn't work that way. Come over to chapter number 4. Notice what he says further to the churches in Galatia. Chapter 4 and verse 16. By the way, somebody tell you you're in the flesh, don't get upset. You get upset, you just show them that you are in the flesh. Somebody say amen. You're in the flesh. No, I'm not in the flesh. There you go, anger. What does Paul say, 4:16? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And you know what we'd say? Yeah. Yeah, you're my enemy. Because I'm trying to help you out, because I'm trying to tell you the truth, I'm becoming your enemy. Now you're mad at me. Hey, wait a minute. Do we get mad at God when God tells us the truth? But instead of getting mad at God, we get mad at the messenger that told us the truth. You can't say that about me. I didn't, God did. God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I don't like it. Well, take it up with God. I can't see him, but I can sure see you. I'm going to punch you. Hey, I've had folks tell me they was going to get me because I gave them the truth. You can't talk about me like that. I said, I'm not God is. God wouldn't talk about me like that. Well, you read it for yourself. What did he say? Hey, he says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Come over to chapter 5, verse 16. Paul gives the encouragement, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. In other words, proceed or advance in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. It should be a capital S in your Bible. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, if the Spirit's in charge, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. However, the contrary is true. If I'm in the flesh, I won't fulfill the desires of the Spirit. So contrary to popular belief, when we get saved, the ordinary nature doesn't move out. How many of y'all bought a new house before? You bought a new house. Anybody bought a new house? Amen. Okay, couple. How many bought a house, period? Wasn't new, but it was a house. Okay. Did the previous owner stay in the house when you bought it? It would be a nightmare if the previous owner says, I'm going to sell you this house. Here we go. But I'm going to be living upstairs. We'll share the bathroom. We'll share the family room. We'll share the dining room. We'll especially share the refrigerator. Amen. We'll share the desserts. We'll share the backyard. And I'll put my stuff up and you put your stuff up and we will coexist. How many of y'all like living that arrangement? What are we going to say? Look, sell the house and you move out. Because I'm getting in there. When we got saved, guess what? The old nature did not move out. He did not post bail and leave. He is still captive in your flesh and in your body. He did not move out. He's still there with the new nature that you have. So you have the previous tenant and the previous owner who knows how things work, and now you've got the new tenants who do not know how things work, moving in to occupy the same space. And of course, the old tenant knows all the nooks and crannies of the house. What am I talking about? That's how it is with the old nature. The old nature knows how to operate and how to do things. The new tenant comes in, the Spirit of God, trying to teach us what to do because we don't know what to do. And when all else fails, what do we normally revert back to? The old tenant that used to live there. How do I turn this water on? Oh, you just got to kick the furnace a little bit. How do I love people? Oh, you just got to smile in their face and talk about it behind their back. No, that's not what the Spirit says. And we begin to get information from the old tenant instead of getting information from the new tenant, which is the Spirit of God. Y'all follow me so far? So contrary to popular belief, when we get saved, the ordinary nature doesn't move out. When the extraordinary nature of the Holy Spirit moves in, that's why many of us struggle, because the previous owner is still there. And we ask the previous owner questions frequently. How would you solve this argument, previous owner? Well, I just punch him. Well, how would you get along with people? Well, I would just compromise. Well, how would you settle this dispute when they won't agree with me? Well, I'll just leave them. That's not God's way. That's not God's way. God's way is by the Spirit of God. And that's what we have. Every Christian has within him two opposing natures, the flesh and the spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to do God's will, but the flesh wants us to please ourselves. Every one of us is born with a sinful nature, which the Bible calls the flesh. Raise your hand if you got a flesh. All of us have a flesh. All of us have one. You were born with your flesh. Without your flesh, you would not exist. But housed in your flesh is a sinfulness. That's why the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh cannot inherit the kingdom. We can't take this with us. Why? It will eventually grow old. It will eventually die. It will eventually give sick. Give sick? Get sick. Might give some sicknesses too, as a matter of fact. And so every Christian has these two natures, and everyone is born with a sinful nature. The sinful nature is only nature unsaved people have. Let me say that again. The sinful nature is the only nature unsaved people have. And you give me a church full of unsaved people, and guess what that church is going to be full of? A bunch of unsaved, sinful natured people making decisions for the church. By the way, the average church is filled more, and don't get mad at me when I say this, the average church is filled with more unsaved people than it is with saved people, the average church. More unsaved people that have joined the church, gotten baptized, made a profession, but they're really not born again. Amen. You don't have to agree with me, but it's true. Only in heaven will you and I see the results of that statement. But how else can you and I account for the foolishness that goes on in churches? How can we account for the church splits and the gossip and the backbiting and the strife and the bickery that goes on? It's either A, they're unsaved, or B, they're in the flesh. And neither one is good. Just the second one is just bad, but at least they're going to heaven. Amen, being in the flesh. We're born again or saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and thus the Christian has two natures, the flesh and the spirit. Our extraordinary need is the Spirit's fruit. our ordinary nature is the sinner's fruit. That's why he's got to go. That's why that previous tenant and that house will not work good with you. He's got to go. Got to go. They wanted light colors on the wall, and you want dark colors on the wall. They want flowers in the drapery, and you want stripes, amen. They want solids in the bathroom, and you want plaid. Not going to work. By the way, if you try to mix those two, that's going to be a worse mess. So as long as we're in this life, we will have the flesh with us, and it will always oppose the Spirit of God within us. Notice verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you will. Paul here writing to them, let him know, hey, the law is not what you need. What you need is to walk in the Spirit. And he says, to walk in the Spirit, there's going to be a fight. Notice what he says here. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, or desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Wow, we got some problems here. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in just a little bit, but I want to note some contrast here about these two natures. First of all, our ordinary nature is called the old man. You're in Galatians, hold your finger there and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And Ephesians chapter number 4, one book over to your right there. Let's go down to verse number 20. The ordinary nature is called the old man. Most of us know this already. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the who? The old man. Why? Which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So he says the old man is corrupt. He's spoiled, amen. How many of y'all ever had a spoiled food in the refrigerator? How many of y'all serve spoiled food to your guests? Come on, family, we've got this spoiled food here. Let's microwave it, put it in the oven. We're going to eat this spoiled food. Yum, yum. Amen. Hey, about the only thing moldy and spoiled, I'm going to eat is some cheese. Cut that mold off. That's still some good cheese. That's some good stuff. You say, oh, that's disgusting. It's penicillin. You'll be all right. You ain't going to die. But the average person is not going to eat anything that's corrupt or spoiled in their refrigerator. What do? We chuck it. We get rid of it. He says the old man is corrupt. He's spoiled. Why? According to the deceitful lust. He's got some deceitful lust there. So the old man, the ordinary nature is called the old man. He is corrupt. His language is corrupt. His lifestyle is corrupt. His longings are corrupt. They're all spoiled and corrupt. The extraordinary nature is called the new man. Notice verse number 23. The extraordinary man is called, or the extraordinary nature is called the new man. The new man must be renewed. Notice verse 23. And be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now think about this. Got the old tenant that is still living in this house. I've got the new tenant, the Spirit of God, that has moved into this house. Now the Spirit of God has got to operate through me. And I don't know what to do. And I've got two choices. I'm going to either listen to the new tenant, the Spirit of God, or listen to the old tenant who's still there. That's why he says, be renewed. In other words, understand what the Spirit wants you to do and do it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why? Verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the new man must be renewed. We know the verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. Why? I don't know it. And I need the Spirit to tell it to me. But I fear oftentimes we ask the old tenant, what should we do? Instead of going to the Word of God and saying, Spirit of God, what should I do? You don't have to hold your finger there anymore. Go over to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. And by the way, if you're fighting for attention right now, that's because the flesh is operating. Colossians chapter 3. Same thing here, old man and new man concept, Paul writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off who? The old man with his deeds. I put that old tenant out. Hey, you're not living here anymore. You're done. You're finished. I'm going to bury you down in the basement. You say, that's pretty morbid. Amen. What are you going to do? You can't kick him out. He'll just come right back. So you need to crucify him off. He says, with his deeds. And put on who? The new man. What is that? The extraordinary nature. Put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in what? In knowledge, so he knows what to do after the image of him that created him. So in other words, he says, the new man knows what to do. You just have to find out what to do. By the way, when the Spirit of God moved in you, that's God himself. And don't you think God knows what to do? Who doesn't know what to do? We don't. And so who do we need to tell us what to do? So when the Spirit comes in, that's why he says, be renewed, be refreshed. Make sure you know what to do. And I'm afraid that we blow it because we ask the ordinary nature, what should we do? Which is the old tenant, the old man. Instead of asking the new spirit or the new nature, what should we do? And find out what God says, then do it. The old man is corrupt, he's spoiled. The new man must be renewed day by day. There will never be peace between the two. Only one can rule in your life. Let me say it again. Only one can rule in your life. Hey, folks, you're either going right or you're going left. You're either wrong or you're right. Amen. Hey, that's the fact of the matter. There will never be peace between the two. You're either obeying the flesh or the spirit at any give it a moment. Let's notice some things here. The operation of the ordinary nature. What is the ordinary nature of the flesh? It's our sinful human nature without God. Your flesh and my flesh is my sinful nature without the influence of God. That's exactly what it is. Why else will people do what they do? They have no influence of God. What is the ordinary nature? Or the flesh. It's our sinful human nature without God. It's man without the influence of God, without the influence of his Son, without the influence of his Holy Spirit, or the influence of his Word. And my friend, that is scary. If you read the book of Judges, then everyone will do that which is right in their own eyes. And so, Brother Duffy, if I want to take your tie because I find it offensive, because it's Green Bay green, I can take it. And you can't do a thing about it because in my eyes, I don't like Green Bay green. Then Brother Duffy comes and says, I don't like a Chicago Bears blue, and takes my blue suit. Then I'm going to come back and say, well, I'm going to take all your cheese. Now we got to fight. Why? I'm doing that which is right in my own eyes. He's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And somebody's wrong. The ordinary nature of the flesh is our sinful human nature without God. It's man without the influence of God, his Son, his Holy Spirit, or his Word. That's scary. Synonyms for the old nature are the old man or the flesh. We see that time and time again. I spoke about the source of light early. And in the source of light, it begins to explain self in one of the early lessons. And it was so good, I wanted to share that with you. Another name for the flesh is this comes from the source of light. So if you've never done this before, it's really a blessing. Amen. By the way, before I turn there, go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. You don't have to keep Colossians anymore. Isaiah 14. Again, this is all just introduction before we actually get into the message next week. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, Satan had a problem. Say, preacher, what was Satan's problem? I, self. Isaiah chapter number 14, and notice verse number 13. This is Satan speaking here by way of the scriptures allowing him to voice his opinion on some things. How art thou fallen from heaven? This is verse number 12. O Lucifer, so that you know who we're talking about. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which is weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, notice this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Now, wait a minute. I thought that God's job is the I am, and I'm supposed to do this. But Satan here is saying, I'm going to do this.
I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Notice this. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'm sorry, Satan, that position is filled already. There's only one. And so this flesh or this sinful nature, this ordinary nature that you and I inherited came right from Satan. And the source of light talks about another name for flesh is I, me, or mine. And notice the source of light's explanation on the expansion of this subject, amen. The flesh or self is what we are on the inside. What we are on the inside. How many of y'all think you know yourself? If you stop at sinful, you know yourself. If you start with good, you're already wrong. Self is what we are on the inside. In other words, self is what people can't see. Self is what people don't know about you. Self is what you think in the inner parts of your heart when others are around and when others are not around. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want me exposed. But I'm about to expose all of us here in just a minute. If self is what we are on the inside, then what is self? Okay, self is very proud. I mean, y'all got a problem with pride. Don't raise your hand. Self is very proud. Self thinks he's the most important person. By the way, when you get your feelings hurt, you think you're better than what you really are. Somebody say amen. You hurt my feelings. Well, you're supposed to be dead and alive to Christ. You hurt my feelings. You said my breath stank. Well, it does. What do you want me to say? Well, you have halitosis. Sounds better, but it still means the same thing. It's just that it's chronic now. Amen. Self thinks he's the most important person. Self wants everybody to look up to him. All of us want somebody to look up to us. No, you don't want anybody to look down on you. Green Bay Packer fans. Bah. Minnesota Viking fans. Bah. Chicago Bears fans. Yay. Nobody wants people to look down on them. Self wants everyone to look up to him. Self is completely selfish. Self lives to please himself. Amen. Self always wants to have his own way. How many of y'all don't want to have your way? We all want to have our way. Kids want to go to bed when they want to go to bed. They want to get up when they want to get up. They want to watch what they want to watch. They want to eat what they want to eat. G2 made a statement yesterday. Y'all hungry? G2 said, I'm hungry for what I want. You know that? I want to please what my desire, my appetite. I'm hungry for what I want to eat. I'm not hungry for vegetables. I'm not, no. Now, if it's pizza, I'm always hungry for pizza. But bring on Brussels sprouts? No, that's for people in Brussels. Hey, we're in America now, amen? Self always wants to have his own way. Self hates to have to obey somebody else. Boy, that's not where we're at. Some of us choke when a stop sign goes there. Not going to obey a stop sign. Got to stop. Red light, gotta stop. Why can't life just be go, 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 go? Because then we just crash, 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 crash. Need some regulations, amen. Self hates to have to obey somebody else. Children have that really bad. Some wives have that bad too, and some husbands have it bad too. Self never likes to admit that he is wrong. Oh, stop the press on that one. How many of y'all like to admit you're wrong? I was wrong. No, I wasn't wrong. You were just not right. And that's why I appear to be wrong. But what I did was right. You just reacted wrong to it. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Self does not like to admit he is wrong. I mean, to get some people to admit they're wrong, it's like eating gravel. I'm breaking my teeth out. I'm sorry. It breaks our heart because we want to be right. Here's another one about self. Self always tries to blame somebody else. It's got to be somebody else's fault. It's my husband's fault. It's my wife's fault. Heard Brother Neil talking about that in Sunday school. Self is easily offended or hurt. Self does not like to forgive others. Instead, the self holds grudges. Why? You offended me. You hurt me. You did something to me. That's self. Self never wants to obey God. Ooh, man, that's big. Self will obey just about anything else but God. Self doesn't want to do anything spiritual. By the way, if you say you want to come to church every time the doors open, you're lying. Now, what you probably have is religion. Religion says, let's go to church because if not, they're going to talk about us. Let's come to Bible meeting, a Bible study, because the pastor's going to call me and say, where were you? Let's come over here because now you're a man pleaser, not a God pleaser. So you're still in the flesh because you're not doing it for God and God Almighty. And very few of us can do that every time. Now, some are exceptions, very few, though. So self doesn't want to do anything spiritual unless it's his idea. If it's my idea to go to church, then it's all right. You ever find out when it's the kid's idea to go to church, they don't have a problem with that? Hang out with their friends, but if it's your idea to go to church, well, you got to make your own decisions. Because I'm dad. When you become dad, you make your own decisions. Self likes and enjoys doing anything but God's will. You'll find out how when it's time to go to church, you're so tired. Oh, man, I'm so tired. Oh, man. Man, if the pastor gets done preaching, go home, and I got a bologna sandwich. Yeah, but time to go back to church. Oh, I'm so tired. Yeah, but you don't know that? That's the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants nothing spiritual. It wants nothing to do with God or pleasing God or doing the things of God. The flesh says, hey, look, if it's spiritual, we are contrary one to the other. It's a spiritual tug of war. So that's self. By the way, we may not like to admit it, but this is the way we are on the inside to some degree or another where no one else can see. Only God can see that. If the truth be known, that's us. The flesh's sinful feelings are inward and eventually reflect outwardly. Eventually, it's going to come through. Matthew 15:19, Jesus said this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, amen. So very, very quickly, I'm going to give you a couple things and then we're going to close, amen. We talked about what is the ordinary nature or the flesh? It is our sinful human nature without God's influence, his son's influence, his Holy Spirit's influence, or the word of God's influence. So then B, what is the danger of the old nature or the flesh? Verse 17, go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. What is the danger of the old nature or the flesh? Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. The word contrary there means they lie opposite. They're adversaries. They oppose one another. They're contrary one to the other. What's the end result? So that ye cannot do the things that you would, or ye cannot, or you're not able or unable to do what you want to do. Amen. How many of y'all get frustrated when you can't do what you want to do? Amen. Most of us. If my plan gets thwarted, man, I'm like a little kid. What do I throw? A temper tantrum. Now, people won't see it. But if they could x-ray your heart, they'd see a big old heart. They're going, I won't wait. If people could look at our heart, that's what they would see. When we can't do what we want to do, we'd see a stubborn little kid inside, pitching a fit, crying, kicking, scratching. If the truth be known. Aren't you glad we can't see that stuff? Hey, if you come to me sometimes with foolishness, you better be glad you can't see what's there. Because sometimes I'm thinking like, smart people don't do that. Smart people don't act like that. Smart people don't say that. And I'm thinking, but on the outside, I'm like, Lord help you. Bless you. Amen. Man, you know, that's not the best way to handle that. On the inside, I'm like, what are you thinking? Now, I can do that with my kids. What were you thinking? You weren't thinking. That's the case. You can't do that with everybody, amen. Kids say, wait a minute, hey, you should act that way with me as well. Hey, what am I saying here? The danger of the old nature is that you and I can't do what God wants us to do. That's the danger. He said, you cannot do the things that you would. You're unable to do what you want to do. Why? The flesh, they're contrary one to another. Hold your finger there. Go back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, they say it this way, starting in verse number 5. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, or the fleshly mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh do what? Cannot please God. That's the danger. They're contrary to the other. You cannot do what you want. In the flesh, you can't do what God wants you to do. That's the danger of the flesh. And by the way, the flesh has no problem being religious. We already talked about that. He will dress himself up and come and look good. That doesn't mean that he's in the Spirit. And I believe as Christians, we fall prey to that more times than we like to admit. There's a dilemma. Notice in Romans, you're still in Romans, go to chapter 7. Go back. Romans chapter number 7. Notice what Paul says about his flesh down in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my what? Flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. Why? For to will, he said, to have the want to is present with me, but how to perform or how to do or be that which is good, I find not. He said, my flesh doesn't want to do anything God wants it to do. And by the way, neither does yours. And by the way, neither does mine. So we're all in the same boat. There's a danger with the old nature of the flesh. We can't do the things that we would. They're contrary one to another. In the flesh, we cannot please God. We're unable. There's no good thing in the flesh. But I have a revelation. We do not have to sin. We choose to sin. We do not have to walk in the flesh. We choose to walk in the flesh. Preacher, how do we do that? When we obey that old tenant that's still living there. When we obey that old tenant and that old tenant tells us what to do, we are living in the flesh. But we don't have to, because there's a new tenant residing within. That's the new nature. That's the Spirit of God through the will of God. He just needs to renew our minds as to what we should do and not ask the old man, because the old man's going to give you old information. Amen. By the way, how many of y'all still got old encyclopedias at home? Do you know that many of your encyclopedias are outdated? You can lose them for a book, a doorstop, but they're not good for a whole lot. Now, they'll give you some good basic information on some things, but technology and findings have changed a lot of scientific things that we thought were one way are another way. And so when it comes down to this, there's no excuse for us, because we choose to sin. We do not naturally walk in the Spirit. We choose to walk in the Spirit. Share with you a devotion and we're going to close. This devotion says, which direction are you facing? Now, this is dealing with Lot and Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom. But it can be applied to what we're talking about with this old nature living here and the new nature living here. Notice what it says here, which is written. This is just a passage. A.W. Tozer said, if I look at the world, I will conform to the ways of the world. You agree with that? Say amen. If, on the other hand, I look at the Word, which is the Word of God, I will conform to the Word and will of God. When we long to get as close to the world as we can and still feel good about our Christianity, it will not be long before we pull back in our pursuit of God. There is great drawing power, it goes on to say, in the things of the world. Don't kid yourself. Satan is a master of temptation and deception, and we must remain on guard to keep our hearts fixed on God. Why? The old tenant will long to get as close to the world as they can. Gregory, go up against that wall for a second. I want you to pretend like you're doing a push-up against that wall. So lean, lean like that. I want to illustrate what this is talking about. Come back. Okay, there you go. Now, after saying what it said about getting close to the world and still feeling comfortable with your Christianity and Satan being a mass temptation, it ends with this. The direction you lean will be the direction you fall. So take care in what holds your affections. So now if Gregory's leaning towards the world and he lets go, which way is he naturally going to fall by proxy? Towards the world. Now, if he's leaning towards the Word of God and the will of God, which way is he going to fall by proxy? That's exactly what he's talking about. The direction that I lean against, when all else lets go, I'm going to fall in that direction. And so if I'm leaning towards the old tenets, the flesh, I'm going to make those type of decisions in my life. But if I'm leaning towards the Spirit of God and the new nature, I'm going to make those type of decisions. I can get as close to the Word of God to and say, I'm comfortable as a Christian. I'm comfortable being here. Who knows what happened to Lot? Thank you, Gregory. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Next thing you know, it wasn't for long, he moved into Sodom. And after a while, what happened? He's at the gate in Sodom. And because he made those choices, he left Abraham's choices that Abraham was making for the Spirit of God and began leaning this way. And before you know it, God is bringing him out, but Sodom is in his daughters and in him already, and it's too late. What am I saying? The danger of the flesh is that we can look and we can lean so much towards this old nature, and he can get pretty religious and think we're okay. And we're not. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's convicting. That's just downright convicting. Why? Because the old man doesn't want to have anything to do with the new man. Nothing. But I will obey one of them at all times. And I'm afraid that I'll obey the old tenet more than the new tenet in my life. And guess what? I don't want to do that anymore. I want to obey God. I want to walk in the Spirit. Why? So I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't want to be caught up in not being able to do what I want to do for God. I don't want to be in the flesh because the flesh well is no good thing. I don't want to be in it. There's a danger there. The definition is it's the old man without God. It's human nature without God. And I don't want to be like that. The danger is the old nature. I don't know about you today, but as you go home today, think about what we're talking about here. Next week, we're going to come back and start looking at some of the things that the old nature does, the ordinary nature that we're born with, and why it behooves us to give way to the extraordinary nature God replaces it with. I don't know about you, but if you live with someone that is exhibiting the signs of verses 18, 19, and 20, I can guarantee you don't want to be around them a whole lot because it's not good. Go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, advance, progress in the Spirit of God, and ye shall not, notice that, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you won't do the flesh's desire. Why? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary. They're opposites. It's a spiritual tug of war. They're contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want. If we're saved here today, God wants us to do His will. By the way, Paul is writing this to the churches at Galatia. Why? They were saved, and they started listening to the old tenet, trying to keep a law that they never could keep. And the Spirit was trying to give them life and liberty, not a law. And you and I, when we get saved, it's the same way. God wants to instruct us on what we should be. Not so much what we should do, but what we should be. And if we are what we should be, we will do what we should do. And that's it in a nutshell. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I don't know who in here is saved and who is not. But I do know this. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Lord, I know just from going through this, I've been in the flesh way more than I want to be.
I've listened to the old tenet more than I need to. I've obeyed that ordinary nature more than that extraordinary nature. Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be guilty of that. So Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit, to obey, to lean in the right direction, to lean towards the Word of God, delighting myself in the Lord. And so, Lord, you give me the desires of my heart. Lord, speak to everyone in the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray the average Christian here wants to be more Christ-like. Lord, help each one to be exactly what you would have them to be. We're not carbon copies. We're not mirrors of each other, but we're mirrors of you, Lord Jesus. And we're supposed to be walking and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, work in this invitation. Help Christians make decisions they need to make. Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to accept Christ as their Savior. Lord, the wages of sin is death. We know that. The gift of God, though, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Speak to each heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're looking around. Let's all stand to our feet as the invitation begins to play. I don't know about you, but I know I've got work to do in yielding more to the Spirit. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I cannot do the things that I want to do. And it's because of this spiritual struggle. It's because of this spiritual battle. It's this spiritual tug of war. Well, Lord, I can have my good days and I can have my bad days. Lord, work in me, work through me. Enable me to do what I need to do for you. And Lord, I know that old tenant is not going to move out, and so I've just got to make sure I listen to the new tenant. I know that old man is not going anywhere. But I know I can put him to his grave. I don't have to obey him. I can obey the Spirit. And I can walk in the Spirit. If I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and just pray. Say, Lord, help me. Help me do what's right by you. Help me to obey the new man, not the old man. Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. Perhaps you're here today, you're without Jesus Christ, and you were to say, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Why don't you do something? Why don't you do something about it today? Why don't you find out more how you can be born again? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure, but I'm concerned. Pray. Pray for me that I can get it settled. I know there's a place I can go called heaven. I know there's another place called hell, and I definitely don't want to go there. Pray for me that I can get it settled. Anyone like that all? Pray for me, preacher. God knows your heart. God loves you, and God wants to work in your heart. The Bible is clear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, that starts your Christian life, your spiritual walk in Christ, having the Spirit of God to seal you. Within that walk is a walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You're not saved here. I extend the invitation to you today. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can be saved. If you're saved here today, listen to the Spirit's call. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed and not conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing your mind. Get in the Word of God every day. See what God would have for you to do. Listen to the Spirit's call. Read His Word and obey it. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are and who you have. And Jesus Christ wants to work in you to be the best for God that you can be. But my friend, you can't do it by yourself, neither can I. It's a constant battle. They're contrary, the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. Father, bless now. Lord, in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls, help us to do the will of God. Help us to know what you want to do in us and through us. God, help us to leave here differently than we came in. More aware of the operation and the processing of the flesh and the spirit. The old tenet and the new tenet. The old nature and the extraordinary nature. What we used to be and what we have in Christ. What we wanted to be, Lord, what you want us to be. Lord, help us to choose Jesus and Jesus' way and Jesus' life. Lord, we know on purpose we'll have to make a commitment. And on purpose, we'll have to commit our lives to you. And on purpose, we'll have to do what you are calling us to do. So Lord, work in us. Work through us like only you can through the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Lord, help us to leave here and make conscious choice decisions to choose Jesus Christ over anything else. Lord, if we're leaning towards the world, help us to lean back towards the Word, knowing by default that's where my decision-making processes will come often from default. And we want to make sure we're defaulted towards Christ-likeness, godliness, and holiness. Thank you for today, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings. Encourage us, Lord, to do that which you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we dismiss,